Second is a brief explanation of the logistics for the year's shareholders assembly. And third is a live Q&A session to answer the audience's questions. Today, we are joined from Grupo Sura by Gonzalo Perez, the CEO, Monica Guarin, Human Development VP, Ricardo Jaramillo, the CFO, Juan Luis Munera, Legal Affairs VP, and Carlos Gonzalez, Investors and Capital Markets Manager. We are also joined by Carlos Oquendo, Corporate Finance VP of Sura Asset Management, and by Juan Fernando Uribe, Finance and Investments VP of Suramericana. Thank you for joining us today. Gonzalo, the floor is yours. Thank you so much, Andres, and thank you all for joining us in this teleconference of results of 2020 of Grupo Sura. To talk about the results of Grupo Sura in 2020, we need to begin to highlight that both 2020 and the pandemic evidence that the strategy, not solely of Grupo Sura, but most importantly of Suramericana and of Sura Asset Management, worked. And it worked despite the pandemic. Indeed, I believe that the biggest result we can underscore is the use of a strategy that was prepared for events such as a pandemic, which takes place every 100 years in history. This strategy led us to several important things. First, we began to have results early on which we were careful about. The results seen in March or April, when we began to project the year, were surpassed by a lot at the end of 2020. All of the companies, without exception, displayed results much higher than what we expected and what the companies themselves expected. On the economic side, these results led the companies to maintain their liquidity and solvency. Remember, in prior teleconferences, we have said always that our priority is, on the economic side again, to maintain the company's liquidity and solvency. Both were maintained, liquidity, all of the solvency. All the companies kept solvency margins way above their regulatory levels. In addition, and worth highlighting, is that all three companies, Suramericana, Sura Asset Management, and Grupo Sura, reduced their debt in similar proportions by each of 150 billion pesos. That is, 450 billion pesos consolidated debt of these companies shrank last year. So liquidity plus solvency plus the reduction of debt make us undoubtedly think that the criteria used to manage the companies are criteria to manage reserves with responsibility, to manage provisions, to manage the companies overall during all these years, prepared us to reach a special year like 2020 and to surpass it, as I said before, showing positive results, as Ricardo will show you ahead, with profits which are obviously far from what we intended early on in 2020, and different, of course, to those of 2020. A year of good profits for Grupo Sura, as you can remember. This is like the first item that we want to highlight in our 2020 results. These results are also something or a consequence that's very important and strategic, which is built every day. And it's risk diversification. When we talk about risk diversification, refer to regional, geographical, and portfolio diversification. Obviously, we talk about investment diversification, which made it possible to see the results we are mentioning. It is also made possible for the companies to meet their budgets before the pandemic. This point is very relevant since keeping the clients of each of the affiliates is obviously important for the company's sustainability. For instance, companies like our HMO EPS Sura registered 500,000 more persons last year. So the growth in revenues of each of the companies were growths that were several times higher than inflation, as Ricardo ahead will show us. It's important, so, to keep in mind the diversification of our business lines, but also we insist on the geographic diversification, which had a special connotation in 2020, and very particularly for Sudamericana. Let's remember that we have been evolving with our investments in five new countries since 2015. On the other hand, knowledge also starts to be pivotal increasingly, and it was something that we prioritized, and also we saw a good result from that knowledge in 2020. When we talk about knowledge, we can define it as that the lethality rate, for instance, for the EPS SUDA, which was 0.65 compared to the COVID-19, is of 25% of the lethality rate that the world has seen in lethality rates. So making any guesses about the results, we could say fearlessly that while in the world 60,000 people die from COVID-19, if the lethality rate of the planet would have been that of EPS, it would have been 15,000, meaning we would have saved 45,000 lives. And that lethality rate was the result of our knowledge, not only in health, but also in risks of anticipating curves. And there it's very important because our management strategy, our own knowledge applied, begins to be a reality and starts to see in lives, which also obviously is seen in economic results for the companies. When we look at the individual capitalization system, also the attitude, the approach to our customers was relevant. Relevance, of course, are the results, as we'll see, of SUDA Asset Management, but even more are those results in which, after the decrease of the chance at removing the members to the funds in Chile and Peru, that approach that we mentioned, the empathy we have with our members, was of being absolutely agile to provide the funds to allow them to make their removals or withdrawals, being empathetic with each of them, led the vision of the people, both in Chile and as in Peru, about pension fund managers. Remember that in 2018, the vision was very positive, changed radically. And that we can see in all of the assessments made of the EPS, in which our pension fund managers, and particularly, we really gained a lot in reputation. So from a circumstance that was apparently critical, we managed to change the image we had of pension funds and to show each one of our members that those are their savings, that they're available, they're liquid, and it incentivized. And we'll see it also with savings of the people. So it's quite important also what we made at SUDA Asset Management with those withdrawals, which early on we could see as something negative. So the bottom line is that we also achieved a social investment. The commitment to grow or expand society is a commitment that we all, and we're sure that you share it, is unavoidable. The growth and sustainability of any industry on the planet passes undoubtedly, because the growth of society is harmonic. We have to generate richness, wealth. We need economic wealth. And we also need to create social wealth. With that, we do it through businesses. And as I said about the HMO, that also the workers' compensation is another example, or the pension fund managers is another example where we create social wealth. But on the other hand, we also have our foundation, which invested about 91 billion pesos last year. Those investments undoubtedly were short. As always, they will be for all the needs of Latin America, but they're still relevant. And we achieved those investments, advancements in terms of healthcare in all the countries of Latin America, to make contributions to healthcare, contributions to ICUs, but also to be of humanitarian aid to protect art and culture, which is vital in these times. Anyways, we have been showing harmonic results between the financial results, and we want to insist for us it's clear, far, of course, of what we intended at early in 2020 and in our growth path today that we want to confirm, but obviously better than what we expected with the pandemic and with the growth of our social responsibility, which is responsibility of absolutely all of us. So far, what I've said leads to a first conclusion is it has to do with the cash flow. Ahead, we'll refer to that as well as the dividends. But also we'd like to highlight that last year, we continue with optimization of capital. It's a systematic and ongoing task that we will continue that we began in previous years, and those optimizations of capital allowed us to have the liquidity that we mentioned and allowed us to have the cash flow, among others, so that the companies like Sudamericana could invest $1.2 billion in the pandemic. So it's very important, firstly, to think that last year we continue with the optimization of capital, which led SUDA Asset Management this year to reduce its debt by $40 million. And this year we'll continue doing so absolutely systematically. This is also the result of knowledge, because only knowledge modelings, the capital exposed, will allow us those optimizations of capital. And we have to complement this undoubtedly, and last year we did it, with a systematic work in efficiency, but beyond efficiency, with an operational model that will allow us to develop a strategy in each company and in turn to have structural efficiencies. Therefore, last year, growths, even of expenses, are growths that Ricardo will show us ahead, but excluding the pandemic, is a growth of less than 2% in the operation last year. Including the pandemic, it's a bit consolidated with a 4% growth, way below the operational or operating growth that even Grupo SUDA had as a consolidated and each of the companies, which discloses that the indicator of expenses over revenues continues to systematically improve in each one of the companies, and obviously in the case of Grupo SUDA. This is very important because these are structural works that we do not abandon because of the specifics of the 2020. We have to underline that. So what does this lead us to? That we can say to you that for this year, 2021, our affiliates, nonetheless, with the year like 2020, kept their dividends, kept their projection of dividends, which for several years we have convened with them, and we have been able to tell you with peace of mind that we're not only going to maintain the dividend that last year we provided to our shareholders, but we will increase it by 3.5%, which is more than twice the inflation that we had last year. So it's all of the structure that we insist that goes hand in hand with a strategy, with works that are very structured, that could adapt in a very special moment for mankind, and also go hand in hand with the growth of a society that's absolutely harmonic and allows us to show you these results and obviously to confirm to you all our commitment to 2021 and to the years thereafter and to continue focusing and creating value to your shareholders. That's why the increase of the dividend, that's why we want to keep our clear disposition for capital management that's absolutely careful, full of knowledge, and equity efficiency and operating models that will allow us to develop strategies and to be more competitive to give you back the trust that you have given us with your capital at Grupo SUDA. Lastly, I'd like to thank you first for joining us in these teleconferences, especially this one. Also, thank you for the trust you have in this company, in this long-term vision that Grupo SUDA has with more than 76 years in operation, our gratitude for being with us again, and our absolute commitment to create increasingly for you value. I'd like now to leave you with Ricardo Jaramillo, our CFO, so that we can deepen and look at closely the figures on the income statement and the balance of Grupo Suda. Thank you so much again for joining us. Thank you so much, Gonzalo, and good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I would like to begin by addressing the financial statements, underscoring the strengths of these companies to face the difficult situation we had last year, as well as the liquidity and the solvency, which were paramount and pivotal and a priority during the entire year, a true focus of our work and involved in every part of our activities. Let's begin with slide 6 and the consolidated income statement, where I will shed light on the sound commercial dynamics displayed by both affiliates, Sudamericana and Suda Asset Management. On the first lines, you can see that premiums issued climbed 8.8% and that retained premiums and revenues from commissions of our two affiliates grew as well. So if we weigh both items, growth was 5.2%, which we can compare ahead with operating expenses that climbed 4.3%, that is 100 basic points above the growth of revenues. When it comes to the revenue of Grupo Suda, it's also important to highlight the revenues from investments and the equity method, which together you can see it's 1.3 billion pesos of lower revenues, and that we'll explain closely in the next slide. When we look at operating expenses closely of each of the companies, I want to firstly highlight first the claims ratio item that we have when it comes to the property and casualty business, and a higher claims ratio in life, workers' compensation, and health because of the pandemic. But as Gonzalo said, we have a big effort on the contraction of expenses, on decreasing expenses, where if we exclude the expenses related to the pandemic, we're talking about a growth of 1.6%, which curiously is the same number of Colombia's inflation. We can see in the final net earnings that the net profit of Grupo Suda was 336 billion pesos. During this presentation, I want to be very realistic about the items that affected our numbers. And again, I'd like to say that helped us to pass through this difficult crisis that we had last year. Moving on to slide 7, we see closely the equity method and revenues from investments. Both items had significant impacts, as I said before. And let's begin with total equity method. It added to 362 billion pesos for Grupo Suda. It's a quite low number compared to December 2019, which was 1.2 billion pesos, almost 900 billion pesos difference, which is mainly explained by the impact of Bancolombia. Here we're looking at the profit of Bancolombia multiplied by our percentage of ownership, and clearly the impact of the bank was an increase on the cost of credits because of the provisions made to back the pandemic. Grupo Argos also had an impact mainly because of its concessions business, and I highlight the positive performance of Nutresa. On the bottom, you can see revenues from investments, and here you can see revenues at the end of 2018, at the end of 2019, and at the end of 2020. Just to compare them, understanding that this is a mirror of capital markets. And it has certain volatility, and that in 2018 was a very bad, poor year for capital markets. 2019 was good, and 2020 had volatility, as you can see in the bottom right graph, where the first quarter was not good, practically zero, and we compensated some with the three following quarters. So to conclude, we had a 2020 better than 2018, but not as good as 2019. Moving on to slide 8, we can see the contribution to the net profit consolidated of each of the companies. I'd like to highlight that Sudamericana and Suda Asset Management, we will see them closely to understand where the numbers come from. We see that the variation of profit from 2019 to 2020 on the bottom graph moved from 1,700 2019. Sudamericana subtracted $170 billion. Suda Asset Management subtracted $294 billion. And there we separated from the profit of the companies, excluding the reserve as the effect of the reserve. We can observe that the main affectation we had was the equity method, as I mentioned in the previous slide. And we can also see how the items related to Grupo Suda, and here I'd like to highlight particularly others. Remember that in 2019, we had a recurrent because of the sale of the company in part in Sodexo. So this shows the profit I mentioned of 336 billion pesos. Slide 9 shows you the components that Gonzalo mentioned in his introduction, liquidity and solvency, and how these were two fundamental items for our management during last year. Here I particularly want to talk about Grupo Suda's management. The equity of Grupo Suda increased at the end of the year of 1.6%, which curiously is also the same value of inflation. So what we see here is that we remained with the same value of money and time in terms of equity and all the management of debt and of cash flow that we carried out in the company. We began in April an exercise of stress testing, which helped us to anticipate to make decisions to issue bonds in August. That issuance of bonds allowed us to have different benefits, such as organizing better the debt profile of the company to cash flow. And on the other hand, to have a lower cost of debt and to be able to have a lower exposure to dollars in terms of our indebtedness. Today, the exposure to dollars of Grupo Suda's debt is close to 4%. And again, I want to repeat that we have a cash flow managed for entirely for 2021. It's important to highlight, as Gonzalo said, that we had a reduction of the debt of 140 billion pesos in Grupo Suda, which aims to that target that we have to continue with our deleveraging process. I'd like to highlight that the proposal to increase dividends of 3.5% means practically twice the inflation and will be reaching a yield in the ordinary stock of 2.7 and preferential stock close to 3.1, which is attractive. Moving on to slide 10, we can see the results of Sudamericana. And there I would like to shed light on the sound dynamics of the business, beginning with the premiums issued. These reached 18.7 billion pesos, up 9.6%. And this shows us that despite all the situation of the pandemic, the nine countries, we still have a very positive growth of revenues. On the other hand, I'd like to underline the dynamics given in the loss ratio of the company. We had a first quarter where the closing of the economy gave way to a loss ratio of property and casualty was slower. But then the claims ratio of life, workers' compensation, and health was also low because we didn't have the number of people infected and lethalities. It was lower. However, in the second semester, once the economies began to open, the claims ratio of property and casualty went back to normality. But there now the claims ratio of life, workers' compensation, and health reached levels higher, obviously because of managing the pandemic. It's also important to highlight what Gonzalo said regarding the fact that the company had a balance robust enough to assimilate an impact of $1.4 billion, which, as I said, that in the first semester there was less claims ratio. So the impacts of COVID for Sudamericana was 460 billion pesos. We can see in the graphs the sound evolution of the premiums issued, the situation of the retained claims ratio. On the other hand, you can see the technical result, which shows us the health of the business as such, growing 3.8%, which again, given the situation of the year before, we consider it satisfactory. Besides, as I said before, the expenses are under control, and we have the indicator of the expenses of the company, which remains at 14%. Slide 12 And here I'd like to show you the benefit of diversification. As I said before, the segment of life, the professional risks business, and of healthcare when it comes to insurance had a significant impact when compared with the net profit of 2019, which was compensated somehow by property and casualty and by health, both segments with a positive profit variation, which compensated partly that affectation of life. In this company, we also had an impact, non-recurrent impact, that's seen in others, which is the sale of PERIC, which we had in 2019. We sold 30%, and also part of the sale of Sodexo to reach Sudamericana closing at 2020 with 211 billion pesos. Slide 13 shows us in detail the segment of life. Here we see that the claims ratio related to COVID had a very significant impact on the results of the company. But I'd like to mainly highlight the sound dynamics of the growth of the business. The segment reached a level of premiums issued of 5.6 billion, up 72%. It had a control of expenses, as I said before, as you can see on the upper right graph. On the bottom, you can see what I talked about the first and second semester. Clearly, the third and fourth quarter for the segment of life was more complicated because those infected, as well as the lethalities, were significant. Here, it's very important to keep in mind the anticipation and the curves that we made in the company from the beginning of the pandemic, which allowed us to have the operational capacity to manage and to reach the good numbers to manage the pandemic. Look at the lower right-hand side graph. Here, the claims ratio of work risks and how this claims ratio, especially in the third quarter, had a very high peak. But now we can see in the fourth quarter, it starts to drop. Let's move on to slide 14. We can see here the segment of property and casualty. And here we see a significant growth of premiums and a lower claims ratio, especially in the first semester when the economies were closed, which led us to have a positive net result in the segment. We can see how the growth of premiums was 6.9%, as well as the recent combined had a significant improvement of 300 basic points. And I'd like to highlight as well the diversification that's given here, especially we see in Colombia, it was 41%, and internationally, it was 59%. Here we highlight some of the operations like Chile, Argentina, Panama, which gives us lights of the benefits of the expansion that the company's made in recent years. Let's move on to slide 15. And here we see the segment of health. And here I'd like to highlight that this segment keeps having a significant growth of revenues. And this is driven because of lower claims ratio during the fourth quarter. And we see that the profit of that quarter was positive. This is a segment that has been growing significantly in years. We observed that in the year the growth was 24.2%, more than 500 new affiliates. The same thing we said last year. If we add the last 2 years, we're talking about more than 1 million Colombians registered to our HMO. So here there are several important benefits. First, that the entire segment has maintained the sound dynamics in terms of service. And proof of that is that the lethality rate, which Shirley Gonzalo mentioned, was 0.6 for the clients of SUDA versus that of 2.6 for Colombia. And this is quite relevant because it shows us the management of the company. And on the other hand, the scale. We can see in the upper right-hand graph that the efficiency of the company continues improving, even with this crisis and pandemic, and receiving this very significant number of members. I'd like to highlight also that SUDA made 16% of the COVID tests in Colombia. And I'd like to highlight something that we've told you in prior calls, and it's the complimentary service plan. It's not mandatory, it's voluntary instead, and it complements our services. And it's growing about 35%, already reached 200 billion pesos in revenues, and that 5% of the members in healthcare have that additional service or that complimentary service plan. So this is a summary of the segments of Sudamericana. Let's move on to slide 17, where we can talk about the numbers or figures of Suda Asset Management. I'd like to begin with a message of positive growth of revenues from commissions, which is very satisfactory considering that the work market or employment market was hurt by unemployment throughout the region. And also I'd like to highlight the recovery of reserves, which had a lot of challenges throughout the year because of the market of capitals. We observed that revenues from commissions grew 2% of the year, and the revenue from reserves that I said before, which was recovered at the end, and the return related to the reserve was 8.6% in the case of Suda Asset Management. On the other hand, we see the operating expenses, which is connected to what Gonzalo said when it comes to controlling expenses and having efficiency, which led to a growth of expenses of 3.4% and an operating profit of practically 1 billion pesos. I'd like to also mention the refinancial result, which had an exchange impact, not because of debt, but because of the cash position that the company has in Chile, which had a positive impact in 2019, and that because of the devaluation was affected during 2020, which is part of the resources that we have for past as investments, but it's very important to have that liquidity reserve at the beginning of the crisis, and which is a reserve that the company still has. The net earning of the company was 431 billion pesos, with some growth versus the year before, but again, very satisfactory considering the challenging situation that we have in the capital market. On the bottom graph, we can see how there is a contribution of each of the segments of this company in this profit. Mainly, the affectation was in the business of savings for retirement, which has some of the impacts of commissions that some of the geographies had, or in Peru, which particularly there was 1 month where we had no revenues whatsoever. Also, I'd like to highlight that the voluntary business, which is savings for investments and investment management, contributed positively to the profit in 19 billion pesos. On the other hand, the financial result and income tax, which has improvements, understanding that in previous years we brought some resources from Chile and we had more taxes for the company to close with 431 billion pesos. Now let's move on to slide 18, where we'll look at closely the savings for retirement business. And here we'd like to highlight the growth of revenues, understanding still that we had very significant unemployment rates in countries of the region, and the reduction of FISIN in some of these countries. When it comes to revenues from commissions in the year, these reached 2 billion. Practically, there's no growth compared to the year before. And it's important to separate it into geographies where we charge by AUMs, which is Mexico, and a percentage in Peru, where we grew 7.6%, and countries where we charge by flow, which is 1 billion, 1 billion in each of them, where we had a drop of 6.8%. The upper right graph, where we see the total AUMs of the segment, shows that we reached 457 billion pesos, up 7%, driven mainly by Mexico, which grew 17.1%. And here I highlight that the company in Mexico, for third consecutive year, had the silver medal from Morningstar. Also, I'd like to highlight at the end of last year, we had the bid for new members in Peru, which are pension funds won their Integra, and that will mean about 800,000 new members for this company. Let's move on to slide 19, where we'll see the business of savings investments and of investment management. And here we see a positive net profit for the fourth quarter that shows operating leverage without stopping growth. And in terms of growth, we can see AUMs that grew 19.9%, reaching 67 billion pesos in these two business units. On the other hand, when it comes to revenues from commissions, these reached 323 billion pesos, with an annual growth of 19.2% and a growth in the last quarter of 25.8%. And these growth dynamics are very important if you particularly look at the net cash flow on the bottom left hand side of the slide, where you can see that we had a net flow of 5.9 billion, up 17%. That was positive throughout all of the quarters. And we can also see on the graph on the bottom right the operating earning and how in the last quarter of the year, of last year, we observe a positive profit, which is quite relevant for that balance that we need in these units. Okay, this is the summary we had of the main figures. Right now I'm going to give the floor to Mr. Juan Luis Munera, who will give us details of the logistics of our next shareholders meeting. Thank you. Thank you, Ricardo. Good morning to everyone. Given the sanitary situation caused by the pandemic, the General Shareholders Assembly of Grupo Sura will be held this year with people, but restricted access to a very limited number of persons, so we have no disease. We will have physically the members of management responsible of presenting to the shareholders information related to 2020, which was announced in the agenda published this past 19th and 22nd of February on the website of the Financial Superintendents of Colombia and in the newspapers. Those suggested by the company to be the proxy holders of shareholders can be entered, and the technical teams that will helping us with the streaming will be at the assembly as well. The proxies, the information of those suggested for proxy holders, and all of the information related to the shareholders assembly will be available tomorrow, March 3rd, on the company's website. Also, at the Secretary General, you can consult additional information for which you can coordinate an appointment through the email accionistas@gruposura.com.co. Likewise, we'll be available through the area of investor relations and Secretary General to answer any questions. Thank you. Thank you. As of now, we begin the live Q&A session. We'll begin by receiving those that are orally given in Spanish. Those in English, in the English session, or only connected by web, please send your questions through the platform. Later, we'll be reading them and answering them. For those that are in the Spanish line, please, if you have a question, press star 1. If you want to remove from the waiting list, press pound. Remember, if you have a question, press star 1. We have a question from Mr. Julian Osique from Da Vivienda Corredores. Good morning, and thank you for checking my questions. I have two questions. One is related to the cash flow. Could you give us more details of the cash flow that you expect for 2021? And everything has to do with the maintenance of this cash flow. And my second question has to do with AUMs. For 2021, I can see that you had good revenues. However, what are your expectations with regards to your new policies, especially those that are seen in Chile. Perfect. Thank you. Let me answer the cash flow question, and then Gonzalo can answer your question when it comes to Chile and Peru and the AUMs. As we said in our presentation, since April approximately, we made some stress tests to understand the company's liquidity and solvency, and that allowed us to understand that the amount of liquidity we had for every operation and what type of impacts they had in Grupo Sura. And those stress tests really covered everything for 2021, and it even led us to anticipate. That's why we told you in a prior teleconference we had the issuance of bonds of bonds issued for $1 billion. And the idea was to and also we keep in mind the bonds that will be matured in May. So we're talking about 830 billion pesos. Even we have an additional capacity to pay off some bank debts. So our purpose is to be able to pay the dividends, meet all of our obligations without increasing the debt. How will we have in the market the dividends reserved? Well, all of the companies have been giving the messages of how they will be handing out the dividends. We have the fourth allotment of the dividend for this year, and then we have the new installments. So this leads that our dividends will be 760 billion pesos, meaning a reduction of 25% of dividends. The other obligations, expenses, taxes, interest, we have a cash flow that's with all of that it needs to meet them. We have that money to pay the debt of $300 million in May. And it's very important when it comes to the valuation of our shareholders' stocks. And we to keep in mind that it's better to have an increase, as we said, of 3.5% of the dividends. Under that does not put in danger in any way our cash flow, and according to our calculations and analysis, it's fine. Let me add something to what Julian had just said, and it's that it's very important to keep in mind that, as Ricardo said, we have the capability, yes, but the idea is also to look at the flows of the economy to distribute dividends. It's something interesting to move the economy, yes, but keeping in mind that we can cover all of our solvency, we can cover all of our debts and everything, I believe that these figures help us move the economy. With regards to your question on the political side of Chile and Peru, I think that overall in Latin America and in all countries, this company has been in the market for 76 years, and we're standing for another century. So this means two things, basically. One, we have the institutionality, and we back everything. And Chile, for instance, will have a constitutional reform, and it's very similar to what we had in Colombia in 1991. And it's a constitutional reform in which our work and the regulation and our contribution as citizens and part of the state, just like in Peru, any positive movement is good for society and for the country, and we want to play a bit. And there we add a lot of knowledge, and we assist all the institutions and obviously the society, the political institutions and academic sectors to make what we call an academic lobby in which we provide information so our decisions made throughout, especially for the country, but especially for our industries, our decisions, well-informed technical decisions. And that's a task based on knowledge that we've mentioned so much today, and that we've done a lot with our colleagues of Suda Asset Management, and we've done it basically with Chile and Peru. Perhaps before we've said, but clearly if we didn't say it, let me repeat it, those that most benefit from our systems are those that are our members. So when we saw the authorization of 10% of the savings of the people, with some considerations, just like in Peru, we had empathy. And before even the regulation forced us to provide that money, we went ahead. And what did we seek with that? We wanted the sustainability of the companies and the systems, and that each of our employees and our members and every person receives the money. So in all of these political movements, we believe that we want the best for society. And again, I insist, we have to keep in mind, we already saw what happened in Mexico and other countries. We had the constitutional reform in 1991 in Colombia as well. So we believe that with Chile and Peru, what we're doing right now is just providing the best information, technical information that concerns us. These are very technical data that will benefit the entire population and, of course, will enable the development of the industries in which we are operating. Thank you. We have a question from Mr. Andres Soto from Santander. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. My question is related to cash flow, but more related to 2022. We're looking at the operating margins, and we saw the case of Bancolombia. And for 2021, their cash flow is quite weak. And there's we need a big recovery of Bancolombia's profits for 2022. So how do you see the activities that are most relevant for your cash flow? Thank you. Thank you, Andres, for your question. Just as in 2020, we anticipated 2021, and now we're anticipating 2022. And that landscape, overall, when you look at the portfolio of Grupo Sura and the five main investments, what we see in terms of results and the budget for Grupo Sura, that we don't have a good year, not as good as 2019, not as weak as 2020, but we have a good, let's talk about an intermediate level. So it's important to mention that also, that the controls of expenses are still in place. We don't have amortization of debt that's significant in 2022. It's very manageable. So I think that we have to be looking at this topic month by month. And our expectations when we have the vaccines and the economies start to open a bit more, we start to look at different results. When you look at budgets right now with so much uncertainty that we had in 2020, we're very conservative. But if possible, when the economy opens more and the vaccines are spreading more, we believe that results will be better. And so, well, we do keep in mind very much what will happen in 2022, Andres. In addition, Andres, as we mentioned before, the capital efficiency and optimal capital that we conducted is being systematically conducted as well. In every one of our companies, and this is something that we will continue doing this year, looking at our equity efficiency, making models that will allow us even to free not only our equity but also cash flow. So you remember a couple of years ago, we had the workers' compensation in life. So we're closely looking very responsibly at these figures. Also, the solvency margins that we've mentioned are quite important above those regulatory. So when it comes to what Ricardo mentioned, we have to evaluate these to look at the cash flow for 2022 because, as you say, well, it's still a year that is not normal yet. Remember, we are focused on deleveraging. We have some short-term and long-term strategies in place in our companies. We believe that the operating structure that we have in the companies with this pandemic will have more efficiencies, more access to them, and eventually this will be reflected. And again, the deleveraging is fundamental. An option is the organic deleveraging, and also looking at the capitals and their management years before. So we as a holding and investment managers, we're very focused on guaranteeing a cash flow in which we said before, like with dividends, we have to look at the debt, invest, we hope, and provide value for our shareholders. Perfect. Thank you for your answers. I have another question regarding the dividend that you have for this year. What are the considerations for it, the authorizations to purchase stocks? How do you see the company in that sense? How can it be more attractive for shareholders? As you said, the acquisition of stock is an option that we have, that we discuss in the assembly. It's a 3-year term purchase during the entire year. As we saw the liquidity movement, we were very careful with the regulations and on using that tool, aware that the value of our stock is quite below the normal value when it comes to the reacquisition of stocks, and when it comes to the dividends, the idea is to look at dividends in cash. This doesn't mean that we are not going to keep in mind the repurchasing of stocks. We'll do it perhaps ahead. But the idea is to provide cash that will provide dynamics to the economy. In addition, Andres, as Ricardo said, shareholders are our customers. And it's part of the work that we systematically do. And it's an opportunity to look at the yield of the company, and I believe that we've got good yields. When the stock will reach its usual levels, it's a mixture really of what we can do with peace of mind, and that's why we decided to pay dividends in cash. Thank you. Next question from Estefania Molero from Credit Corp Capital. Good morning. Thank you so much for your presentation. I have 3 questions. The first 2 have to do with Mexico and Peru, especially Mexico. I'd like to know what are the impacts you see for the the reform. And the 3rd is the voluntary business, which for the first time showed gains in 2017. So my question is, What type of profit levels do you see for this business, and how do you see Mexico? Thank you, Stephanie, for your question. Carlos Oquendo will answer our financial vice president of Suda Asset Management to answer your question. Hello, can you hear me? Yes. Perfect. Look, Stephanie, with regards to the reforms, we have different visions to what is Mexico and Peru. The reform of Mexico, we think it's quite positive, mainly because of the increased contributions, which are at 6.5% today. Gradually, they will increase to 14-15% beginning in 2023. So we believe that this is very positive for savings made in Mexico, because besides, we have more flexibility and better and more favorable conditions for the people that have less chances of having a formal savings. This has implications because it accelerates the decrease of FIT, which is closer to what we see in other countries. But when you charge it in Mexico, that fee over AUMs, mainly because of the increases in recent years, as we have seen increased AUMs, and even more, the decrease of revenues, even for 2021, we are paying a fee of 0.92 to 0.93 because of the increase of the revenues they have because of the commercial strategy in place. And that gives us growth of 4% in Mexico. When it comes to the reform of Peru, it's a bit different to that of Mexico because we don't believe that that reform will improve the conditions of the people. Instead, we believe that the savings of the people will be handled by a state-owned entity. And because of the history seen in Peru, in past reforms which have encouraged this practice, the results have not been good. And so everything that the state has handled, the state really hasn't shown good results. So they really haven't solved the needs or met the needs for pensions of the members. So in Peru, you can make withdrawals. And fortunately, we were able to give the money to our members while the state-owned company couldn't. So we are concerned about what will happen in Peru. We've held a lot of discussions on this subject matter. And we're trying to push in some new ideas to make changes in the proposals of Peru. Even the public ministry in Peru has said that it's inconvenient, and there are many chances that the government is not well equipped for that. When it comes to your question on Inversiones Sura, we are very happy with the performance of the different countries of voluntary pensions in Chile and Mexico. We have a project underway. For next year, we expect to consolidate that growth. We hope to reach more than $15 billion to increase that business and also an increase of revenues of 15%. So this is still very positive. The plans and the investments made are giving good results. We have customers and advice that has given us good results. And when it comes to figures, we've reached a scale that allow us to have an operating leverage to see good results. So the perspectives that or outlook of that business is still positive for 2021. I would like to add, and please correct me if I'm wrong, part of the operating structure that we must develop in every company, undoubtedly, especially in this case, regarding the mandatory savings, is to anticipate the reductions of fees. And for us, the idea is to go towards that path, to have levels higher than those fees for the pension, so that the mandatory pension fund managers can anticipate, so that we can be prepared and receive the opening of more populations and to have increased contributions from people to reach the levels that we need and to increase the middle class, which undoubtedly in Latin America and in the countries that we operate it will continue growing. So it's very important to do that work of on efficiency rates to anticipate a bit to what could be the fees that could exist in the different regions and countries regarding mandatory pension funds. Thank you. To remind you, if you have a question, press star 1. We have no more questions in Spanish. On the chat, we have some questions from Diana Castro. 2 questions. Could you give us ideas what you expect from SUDA Asset Management for 2021? And second, or update of your events? Joanna, hello. I'm going to give you the update of SUDA Ventures, and then Carlos Oquendo can give us figures of the expectations of SUDA Investment Management for this year. SUDA Ventures, we have the investments on standby right now. We have invested in about $34 million. In companies right now. We have 2 companies that are in the SPAS vehicles. They are already listed. They are undergoing the IPO process, but there's a local period that leaves us still to stand still. And those 6 months, it's like a money line in clover in which and when it comes to the profitability, financial profitability, we've got good results. But in general, we are in the process to understand how that ecosystem operates, but also to see what chances of making alliances with companies of the portfolio. Alliances, of course, that will create value for our clients and for affiliates, or companies of strategic investments, and clearly for those of SUDA Ventures. So that's a brief summary of SUDA Ventures. Carlos? Yes, Joanna. When it comes to investment management, we expect a consolidation in operations. It's been a challenging year. We hope to have more than 30% increase in revenues, to reach more than $80 million in revenues. When it comes to AUMs, we should be reaching $14 million, increasing close to 30%. Last year, we had an increase of about 5%, but affected by the business that we had in Mexico. Otherwise, we would have grown 11.5%. So it's a challenging year, but we see it with good outlooks. And we hope that we have a good operating consolidation by 2022-23. We have a question from Catherine Ortiz. Could you please share how much you expect by 2021? What will be the profits for Sudamericana and Suda Asset Management? And are you going to incorporate the Argos dividend as well? Hello. I would like to begin by answering your question about the dividends of Grupo Argos. If you look at the presentation, when it comes to cash flow, there's a component of or item of investments. There, what we are assuming for cash flow is that we receive in shares, and it's an investment, which we believe has a potential that's significant. And connecting that to Andres Soto's first question, it's an additional leverage that we have, if necessary, for 2022 to use it. But initially, the idea is for us to keep the shares. Now let's give the floor to Juan Fernando Uribe and Carlos Oquendo when it comes to the expectations of Sudamericana and Suda Asset Management, clearly shedding light on the fact that we're talking about the portfolio and that 2021 is a year of transition between what is true and what we expect for 2022. And it's important to keep in mind what Ricardo is saying, because we still have the pandemic involved for Sudamericana and for Suda Asset Management. So we insist that in 2022, we have to recover these profitabilities, but we will not have what we had before for this 2021. So, Uribe, Carlos, would you like to add something? Perfect, Gonzalo, what you said. Catherine, good morning. As we've explained before, 2021 is a year of transition in which we will have interesting growths. The premiums issued will have figures of 21.4 billion. Those retained, 18 billion pesos, almost 10% growth. Premiums retained, also 11%, and claims ratio, keeping in mind that we still expect with the vaccines that we'll have a first semester with performances similar to those that we saw in the last quarter. But still, we are serving, and we hope that the impact is low. So we're looking at a growth of 12%, and this gives us a result, a technical result, of almost 2 billion pesos, up 15%. Expenses, still, we will be using our strategy to leverage them. What we've done so far in 2020, and to continue with many changes in processes through what we call of rewriting our operational models in the insurance companies. So we have a figure of 2 billion pesos, up 4.6%. Those are the growth levels that we expect with the technical results. When it comes to financial revenues, we have significant challenges. Obviously, we have lower rates in the markets, which perhaps benefited more us more in 2020. But for this year and the year after, this will be part of our portfolio. Still, we're thinking about diverse strategies to enter alternative markets in which we can make investments. We're working on in different countries, looking at the regulatory aspects. So that gives a net profit of about 500 billion pesos, 11% higher than the year before. And when it comes to Suramericana, with its participation, we'll end with a profit level growing 20% almost, and compared to what we had in 2020. So these are more or less our expectations for both companies. Thank you. Yes, when it comes to Sura Asset Management, our revenues from commissions expect an increase of 9%. We're at that figure, more or less, of $690 million for 2021. When it comes to the yield of the reserve, which is the average of the inflations of our members, in the mandatory business, we expect 6 to 6.5% increase in the year. When it comes to the net profit growing 9%, which is about $140 million. And in the other companies, we're talking about 18, 19% growth for 2021. We don't have any more written questions. In English? Do we have any questions in English? No, we have no questions in English. Okay. To everyone, again, thank you for joining us in this teleconference of results. I'd like to highlight our commitment to grow and to increase the economic value of our companies and to you as shareholders on a long-term basis, being responsible on a short-term basis, and to have a harmonic growth of our society, because we not only have to look at the human side, but also the sustainability of the businesses in the regions where we operate. Thank you so much. Again, last year, fortunately, the businesses kept their capability of producing, and their revenues, their operating revenues, were good. And despite the pandemic, which happens, takes place every 100 years, we had good solvency. We had a good criteria for our provisions or for our reserves. How we manage our strategies led us to show you the results today. This 2021, we will continue working hard, adding value for you to our shareholders, and to have higher returns and more profits, and to contribute a lot to the society, not only because it needs it, but also because it's part of the sustainability of our planet. So to all of you, thank you so much for being with us. We hope to be with you at the next meeting in 3 months. Thank you. Thank you all. This ends our teleconference for today. If you would like to listen to this teleconference again, it's available on the website in a couple of days. Now you can hang up. Thank you.